City of Angels, Premier Radio Network presents Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
We're going to continue with the story on electronic harassment with Roger Tulsis when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. Roger, some people are emailing me saying that the cell phone towers are even coming in the form of trees and fake branches.
Yeah, that's exactly what they did. They put down the block from where I live, they put one up, and it's a phony palm tree. I mean, the whole bottom of the thing has the texture, you know, of a palm tree, and then up at the top is all these long green branches. And it's a standard six-element cell site with the full power. Let me explain to you what happened on this last case that I was telling you
okay,
about.
Okay, yeah.
One of your listeners, a lady named Frida, and she contacted us from Colorado Springs saying that she was having problems. Now, this lady is a researcher in life extension, and she's somewhat of an expert with vitamins and other kind of supplements. She's a student of trying to put the body in harmony with these kind of nutritions.
Holistic,
yeah. So we went over there, and one of the things that was happening to her was that about 5 o'clock in the morning, she would be laying in bed, and her heart would speed up, and she'd get an anxiety attack, and she would be unable to be restful anymore. So when we got to her location, we set up our spectrum analyzing equipment. And when I looked out over the hill where she lived, because it was in a very nice area, when you looked across the valley, there was 3 massive cell antennas. And when you powered up our analyzing system, you could see that during the hours of 5 o'clock in the morning when all these people started to merge on the freeway, these cell antennas would go from a low capacity of very small signal levels coming out to a gigantic amount of power. You were talking probably about 100 to 200 transmitting carriers broadcasting simultaneously. So all that power summates when you're talking about hundreds of conversations. And it's not so much the power that's coming off individual cell phones. In other words, you know, when you have a cell phone in your ear, those power levels are not, I mean, they're not good for your brain.
No.
But they're not going to hit somebody that's a mile and a half away.
That's right.
But if you have 3 cell system antennas, each one of them broadcasting with wattage involved in 100 different conversations, all being digitally pulsed, you find that what happens is that your brain functions start to be interfered with. Now, if you add to that most people sleep on a mattress. Now, if you look on the inside of a standard mattress, what you see is springs.
Metal springs.
And what's connecting the springs is these little metal tie pieces.
You sound like you're doing a commercial for my Select Comfort client now, because they sleep on air.
There you go. Because what we're finding is that the people that are suffering these kind of occurrences, where at 5 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, the cell systems power up, and people are having anxiety attacks and some of these other symptoms that we're going to be looking at, what we're finding is that the people are sleeping on metal beds. If you look at the size of an antenna array that would be equivalent to a mattress, you're talking about an antenna that would be on a battleship. I mean, you're talking about 8 foot by, what, 6 foot that's or 4 foot across?
That's a big mama.
Well, just think about it for a second. That's an ungrounded metal array, and any kind of electromagnetic fields that going to hit it. In other words, I can take my spectrum analyzer and I can put it up to your bed, and you'll see all the signals take a big jump up, just because it's a large metal array. And then you add a box spring metal as well, then you're really going to have, you know, the whole thing's a gigantic...
It's a receiver.
It's a receiving system,
yeah.
Right. So what we did with this lady was that we have this... originally, when I had talked to you a year and a half ago, we were using microwave-absorbing foam that was used for in the military applications for absorbing microwaves. We have since moved away from that because the foam tended to flake and we didn't want people to breathe it. So we've moved into what's known as metallized fabric. And this is a special fabric that's kind of like normal fabric. It flexes and it's comfortable. And it's a nickel-copper plated non-woven fabric. And this is specifically made to reflect and absorb microwave.
Okay, but unlike metal springs, what? It's not like a receiver, then?
No, it's not. It's a piece of shielding material, but it's a cloth.
Okay.
And when we test it in our lab, we've got a microwave lab, and we actually have two calibrated antennas that shoot. One shoots microwaves, and the other one receives it. And we test materials by making a little mitten and putting a mitten over the receiving antenna, and then we measure the amount of attenuation and loss and how much shielding these particular materials give. But in this lady's situation, the very first day that we were there and we wrapped her in it, we put a layer of it under her body on the mattress layer,
right,
and then one over her, she had substantial reduction in this problem.
And felt better, obviously.
Right off the top, right away. She was able to, her heart palpitation problems let up, and the anxiety was released, and she had one of the first good night's sleep that she had in quite a while.
And there's no way a medical doctor would have determined what you found.
Well, I don't know that.
I don't think so.
Well,
I don't think they say, are you living near towers? I don't think that comes up.
Yeah, people that have electrical hypersensitivity, and there's many people like that. But once again, you know, our brains are electrical systems. Our bodies are regulated by our brains, and anytime you interfere with your brain processes, you're interfering with all kinds of potential body problems. She also found from her research that using B12 and folic acid, because she was trying to counter the effect with her knowledge of some of these nutritional remedies, and she found B12, folic acid, because she thinks that these microwaves tend to interfere with your calcium and magnesium absorption. So people that have these kind of problems might take some B12 and some folic acid. And that was one of the things that that we discovered over there. And hopefully she's going to continue to do some of the research that she's doing. I've been taking some of the other victims that we are working with, and we've been having her come up with some programs to try to get them supplements. But the shielding has been a pretty big breakthrough.
This must be going on all around the country.
Well, anywhere you have a cell tower, you have that level of power coming down. And, you know, they're building them right here. This one that went up down, what I'm talking about, it's right smack in a residential area.
And this will look like what?
It like looks like
tree?
A palm. This one's a palm tree.
Oh, this one's the palm tree.
It's the palm tree. That's right.
Well, so the upside is they're trying to make it fit the environment. The bad side is there's too many of these things.
Well, yeah, they're a gigantic matrix. We discussed that the last time around, that not only can these things be used for cell communications, but, you know, they are basically microwave broadcast towers saturating areas from every direction.
Can they be used for nefarious purposes?
Well, sure. My view of it is that if there was a national emergency, a Rodney King event or some kind of uprising, that they could switch the source programming from cell phones over to saturating neighborhoods with microwave patterns that would cause people to become disoriented and unable to function.
Or having to have to run home, for example, and stay in your house.
Exactly. Sure, why not? And that's one of the things we're thinking about, but just not the microwave system. We're going to look at satellites as well here shortly. And by the way, there's one other thing that there's two things that you need to know. For people that are suffering like this, and we run into a lot of people that have used aluminum foil to try to cover themselves, and with some success, because aluminum foil to some degree will work.
It is a reflector, right?
All I can tell you this is the easiest way to test something. If you make yourself some kind of shielding, if you take a cell phone inside the shielding, once you're finished with it, take a cell phone inside whatever enclosure you've made to shield yourself from these problems, and have somebody call you. If your cell phone operates,
it's not working.
It's not working. Now, this materials that we have here, if I can take one layer of this little blanket material, and I can put your cell phone inside it, and I can call it, and it will not operate.
It won't run. Okay.
It will not operate. Okay. And that's just the basic simple test that we use to see whether somebody's shielding is working or not in this microwave range. The other thing that I've got now is also I have little cell detector pens Some people came up with a little product, and it's a little pen that was normal writing kind of pen.
Yeah.
And built in the top of it is a field strength meter with a LED red light. And when microwave is present, it will light up. So if you're, you know, either somebody's running a cell phone nearby or you get in a situation where you're close enough to a tower, these things will flash off and let you know that you're in an area where
you better get out.
Yeah, you better get out. Well, you know, the interesting thing is for those people that are interested, if you look up the information about microwave ovens and what happens to microwave food, you will find that microwave food is extremely bad for you. Basically, what's happening is you're using this klystron tube to oscillate the food. It might, you know, when food gets microwaved, the molecules are resonated at 2.4 gigahertz. That's 2.4 billion times a second.
Right.
And once these things get up to that vibrating frequency, once you shut the microwave off, and of course they tell you don't even stand by a microwave because it's no good for you, but the energy that's coming off the food is what they call secondary emission.
So it's still happening.
Well, it's still 2.4 gigahertz of energy coming off the food.
I wouldn't think that. I would have thought that it would just stop. When the microwave stops, so does the beam.
Well, not really, because the food is still oscillating, and that's why the food is still hot.
Okay.
Now, you've agitated those molecules at 2.4 billion cycles a second, and what happens is when you do that, you will end up eating the food hot. You will get the secondary emission. It's like eating microwaves. Now, there was a doctor that did research on this, and his name was Dr. Hertel, H-E-R-T-E-L. And if you run that through Google, you'll read his research. But basically, some of the things he found out is that molecules get totally disoriented when you do this to them. You know, unlike human beings that have been heating their food on fire,
right,
and have the molecules in the food vibrate at random speeds because fire heats things more of a white noise kind of oscillation,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
which our bodies are accustomed to for billion years of, you know, heating over fire. When you do this microwave, you end up causing the molecules in the water molecules to separate and get in the wrong alignments. And part of the research he showed is that when you start eating food like that, it will interfere with your blood, make your blood contaminated.
That's an amazing study.
It is. You have to read about it. I've got all the details here. We could almost do a show on it. But this guy's original research, he's a Swedish fellow from Sweden, and the industry asked him to do the research, and he came back with negative results, and they tried to shut down the report.
Are these microwaves any better now than they were 20 years ago?
Well, I took my microwave out to the dumpster in 1980.
And never put one back in?
No, because I just, if you read the research, it's just too unhelpful. And, you know, in America, digestive tract cancer is what, number two?
I think. Well, as a matter of fact, cancers in general just passed up heart disease for deaths in this country.
No, I knew it was something like that. But, you know, colon cancer and digestive tract cancer and all that, and I'm no medical expert.
When they started building these devices, Roger, did any scientist say, this isn't going to work?
Yeah. I think the first ones were built by the Germans, and they basically built them for the military to be able to heat food out on the battlefields for the troops. And, of course, you know, military, they don't really care much about quality. They just want the expedience.
They just need it quick and fast, and off they go.
Exactly. Okay, so anyway, let's jump back to one other breakthrough I wanted to tell you about that's really kind of important on this. Let's just jump to this for a second. The state of Michigan has passed a law against electronic harassment.
Now, give me your definition again of electronic harassment. It could be anybody, law enforcement, your neighbor, anyone, right?
Well, it's not so much who does it, it's what the nature of it is. In other words, when somebody uses an electronic device to cause harm to you, your person.
All right, if you're getting bugged by a telemarketer, is that electronic harassment?
Well, if it's making you mentally have difficulty, I don't see why not.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, this is State of Michigan House Bill number 4513, Section 200. And what they said here, they talk about that if you do anything to frighten, terrorize, intimidate, threaten, harass, or injure any person, and by using a harmful electronic or electromagnetic device, which means a device designed to emit or radiate or that as a result of its design emits, radiates an electronic or electromagnetic pulse, current, beam, signal, or microwave that is intended to cause harm to others, that's an illegal activity. So that's a pretty big breakthrough.
That is pretty dramatic.
Well, you know, this law didn't exist when you and I talked about in the last show a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure what their legislative intent is on this. I haven't actually read more than just the bill itself. But the point is, obviously, one state feels that this is a problem. Of course, this thing also covers anybody using chemical irritant devices or any other harmful biological device. So it covers biological and chemicals as well.
When an individual goes nuts and kills people and claims that God told him to or he heard voices in his ear, most of us would say, this person's insane, either needs to be treated or put away, but there's something wrong. But answer this for us, Roger. What are the possibilities that he's really hearing someone telling him to do this?
Well, I've been convinced by some of the people that I'm dealing with that they're hearing the same sources, because they tend to talk about the same kind of techniques of voices and that kind of thing.
And what are they hearing?
Well, a lot of times people are just hearing things that are degrading. But other times, people are actually given missions to do things. And, you know, and of course, some of the real radical ones, people are actually being told to kill themselves. You and I had discussed that one woman that had drowned her children that was hearing voices. I don't,
Andrea Yates.
Yeah,
right? Yeah,
I remember that one. And then you were saying it was kind of odd that her husband was involved with a former government contractor, if I remember, Ryan. But anyway, getting back to it, if in fact, let's say we had discussed in the last show that this bill was that the government had put on the books, you know, this Title 50, Chapter 32, Section 1520A, which allows the government to do bioweapons experiments on the citizens, and they basically said that the people had to volunteer with the exception of any law enforcement purpose. So that being on the books, and of course we had it removed for a period of time, and then it reappeared in a military appropriations bill back in 1997 or 8, and we never could quite get the feel for why that the government and the government contractors needed this ability to do bioweapons experiments on the citizens. But you can see, if in fact you're developing something like a cell tower system to be able to calm the general population, then who are you going to test it on? You're obviously not going to go to the prisons and test it on people there, because they're not in that environment where you're going to be able to really do a civilian kind of test.
Do you think this technology is being developed, has been developed for two purposes? One, for the obvious, for the phone, for whatever, but also then for control?
Of course. Yeah, control is certainly something that, and you know, since this 9/11 thing, the control thing is really getting weird. I mean, you look at these legislations. You know, I've got the Patriot 2 information sitting here right in front of me, in case you want to take a look at some of this Patriot 2 stuff that they still want to get put through. But it's pretty draconian, and also it crushes the Fourth and Fifth Amendments. It's you know, the first Patriot Act did enough damage. Now the second one, and of course, they're trying to do it piecemeal. They're taking it and doing it bits and pieces. They just
You know, the old saying: if you're going to boil a frog, you don't turn up the heat right away. You just kind of simmer him, and then he's cooked and doesn't even know it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, as a matter of fact, they passed that one thing last week that had to do with this starting to get this national ID put into operation.
Right.
And that was, that was under the National Intelligence Reform and Terrorism Act, I think was the one that did it. And they started, and they want to be able to put all the bio information, all your fingerprints and facial images and some of the other bio parameters on there as well.
What would George Orwell say today?
Well, you know, I've got some George Orwell to talk about here, because he's relevant. You know, the 1984 prophecies, which is really what they were, are really coming to fruition. And we can take a minute to. I got a couple passages of George Orwell that I'm gonna want to read to you if we have the time to do it.
I got about 30 seconds right now.
30 seconds. Well, that's not enough to do it there.
We'll
if you got 30 seconds, let me tell you, I got my book that's about a third done.
Go ahead.
It's going to be called Bug Sweeper: The Adventures of a Hollywood Electronic Private Eye. And it's going to be all these stories that I've got Matter of fact, I just reviewed, I've been writing this stuff, and I was totally crazy 20 years ago.
And where's it going to be available?
Probably not for another 6 months or so, but I want to let you know that we're writing it. We're getting all the adventures down and a lot of the stories that we've covered with you in the past. And if we get a chance tonight, I'm going to take you over to the Howard Hughes information where I ended up building that famous movie projection system that was on top of the Desert Inn.
You did that?
I'm the guy.
All right. We're going to talk more about that. And also, I want you to talk about these microchips and implanted individuals when we come back, Roger, because there's a lot of people walking around with implants and they don't even know it. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.
Subscribe to After Dark. Call toll-free 1-888-727-5505. Coast to coast and worldwide on the internet. This is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
Well, it was Benjamin Franklin who once said, "They that can give up essential liberty to obtain a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety." We'll continue our discussion with our guest Roger Tulsis in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Roger, let's continue with your stories that you did not have time for before the break.
Okay, before we jump back on the finish up the harassment page, I had an individual over Christmas gave me a copy of this little sticker. It's a picture of a TV set with a man's silhouette with a question mark, and under it says, "The brainwash never wondered."
How true.
Okay, jumping back on the harassment page there, I hope you still have it up on your computer.
Uh-huh.
We moved down to the microchips, pictures of the microchips, and of course, since I last talked to you, this microchips they're using now have been allowed by the FDA, and that particular company down there that was making them now is implanting them in people. And
Applied Digital, I think, right?
Applied Digital Solutions, yeah. They Digital Angel, and now the FDA says go, and I guess that I had heard all kinds of crazy stories about people putting them in so they could get into exclusive nightclubs, but
that's going on in Barcelona, Spain.
Yeah, and that's something. And then also government officials can access only certain levels of information on computers with them as well.
And a lot of that happening in Mexico, where the attorney general there of that country has got his staff all implanted.
Well, I don't know. You and I discussed that in detail on the last show, so we'll just keep moving forward on the new information.
What fascinates me, Roger, about this is, and I don't know if this is a hoax, a myth, or if this is real, but on the website you've got a picture of a sniper gun that purportedly can shoot implants into people and they can barely even feel it?
Right. Well, basically, when this thing came out, there was some discussion about it being urban legend. And somebody had come to me and said, you know, we don't think this is for real. But basically, we were concerned with the fact that this kind of technology could be developed and could be present. So we figured we would include it so that if anybody has an instance or a circumstance where they felt like they got a bee sting and next thing you know, they've got something under their skin, that this something we think that even if it is not correct and not true at this time, we figure it's a developmental possibility. So we went forward and then reproduced the information because this was supposed to be developed for the Beijing China police in 2002 kind of thing. So sometimes we'll take things that we're not totally sure about, but if they seem viable, we'd rather put them out there and let people have some idea and also take the feedback from people that may be in the know about it. We may have somebody, you know, come to us and confide in us, you know, this thing is in development at this point. So sometimes we'll just go with it just because it's better to think about it and have it out there rather than exclude it from the information.
Okay, I understand.
Yeah. Moving on, these are laser harassment devices. Next down, pictures down, laser gun sight set up there so that you could actually fire a laser at a very long distance.
Is this what could be happening to pilots?
Well, it very well could be the same kind of lasers. Yeah, that's recently been in the news, and the FBI got extremely upset about it and went and took some people out just to make the point. And, of course, it is very dangerous when you start firing these things at people that are running aircraft and motor vehicles, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. But those are the actual pictures of a couple of versions of what that is. Now, we have people that get laser harassment. They get people coming around their neighborhoods and using lasers from a car, and we'll light up their window shades at night and put the beams through the cracks of their windows. And if somebody does that to you, and it's, you know, enough times around, it's pretty unnerving. And we do have reports of that as being a part of a harassment. The next picture down is this hat that we still have not gotten any feedback. We had one client that had this hat tossed in the back of her car. And the hat, the symbol in the hat is a man with his head popped open on a hinge with a microwave antenna coming out. And embroidered in the back of the hat, it says, "We deny we exist." We still, you know, I've had this on the net, on the internet, and I talked to Art Bell about it as well, put it out there on that show. We still have not anybody come back saying that they know what this is about.
Right.
So we still have it up there, and hopefully somewhere along the line someone will come forward and tell us whether that is a covert operation of some kind.
Or just some clever person.
Well, they went to the point of making some hats up. We think that's pretty strange.
Yeah.
But this individual was didn't find it funny because she was having a lot of other problems happening at the same time. And then following that is personal tracking recovery information about the patents for chips, the microchips, mm-hmm. that will allow you to be tracked by the satellites. And then following the next thing is the new pictures. These are some new pictures that we have there of this Iridium satellite system. And basically the satellite that you see there is one of 77 satellites that are in stationary orbit around the Earth. And the diagram below it is the actual coverage that these 77 satellites...
It's the whole planet.
It is the whole planet. It's basically a matrix similar to the cell system.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting part of the story here is you may recall in the last show that I had with you, the next following month or so, we were going to have a victims meeting in up near Sacramento, California.
Right, exactly.
And we had that meeting, and we were out in the countryside. They had it at a small church that was out in the middle of fields, and there was nothing around it. And we had about 150, 200 people there, and I had my machinery running just because I monitor those events to see if there's anything going to occur, and we all started to get hit by an energy beam. Everybody started getting headaches, and I threw the machines into operation, and I'm seeing this microwave frequency coming down. And I ran outside and grabbed my binoculars, and I'm looking the whole horizon. There is not a cell tower. There's not an unknown vehicle. There's nothing within miles around to look at. And at that point, we pretty much figured out that we were being hit by some kind of satellite wave. And then we started to move forward. Now, the interesting part about this Iridium system is that it was originally put up in space by a private company that was trying to link cell phones, to have cell phone operations with this thing. And then they were they went out of business. They weren't able to continue, and the Department of Defense took over the system.
Uh-huh.
So you got 77 satellites flying up there, and they have the ability to send microwave transmissions down to these areas and those coverage patterns right there.
What are some of the symptoms of getting bombarded by electronic radiation?
Okay, the symptoms may include, but are not limited to, headaches, eye irritation, dizziness, nausea, skin rash, facial swelling, weakness, fatigue, pain in the joints and muscles, buzzing, ringing in the ears, skin numbness, abdominal pressure and pain, breathing difficulty, irregular heartbeat, like Frida had, the lady over there in Colorado. Sometimes people get sexual stimulation. They actually get sexually attacked. We've got many women that have they're sexually assaulted by energy weapons. Some people hear voices. Paralysis, balance problems, body or muscle spasm, convulsions, depression, difficulty in concentrating, that's a typical one. Seizures, sleep disturbances, also similar to what we were talking about there, and memory problems. So there's a whole list of difficulties that you can have if you're being hit with any of these microwave or other multiplexed energies.
You know, some days you wake up, Roger, and you just don't feel yourself. You know, you don't know what it is. You know you're not sick. You know, you don't have a cold or anything like that. You're just not yourself. And then other days, I mean, you're sky high. You feel great. You know, you're on an emotional high. Does that have anything to do with this? I mean, is it one day perhaps we're getting bombarded, the machines are on, the towers are running big, and they affect you, and then the next day, maybe they're not turned on, maybe the power's not as strong as it was the day before, and you go back to your normal, jovial self?
Well, you know, the thing about it, I would say if you were to have a day where this stuff would lighten up, it would most likely be a Sunday. Basically, you don't have people commuting, you don't have that massive cell activity that you have during commutes and other times. And you may find Sundays are going to be a calmer day for anybody that has these kind of difficulties. So that may be one way to make a determination of whether you've got that. it's hard to say if you've got these towers. We have people that are moving at this point. We have several clients that we're living in areas where we made these measurements and they no longer can stand it. And their houses are up for sale, and they're moving out of those particular locations.
And I guess they have to disclose why they're moving like that, or not?
Well, no. They're just moving. Now, one of the things that we did is I found a hotel here in California that's kind of up north, that's in an area that's just outside the national parks, and it's totally void of microwaves. You go up there, and you can't make cell phones work, and nothing's working up there. It's, you know, I've done spectrum analysis up there. It's a particularly dead area. And sometimes I will send clients up there for a weekend just to tell me whether they get relief. And it's interesting to go to test areas where you can get, you know, even now it's hard to get away from microwave towers, because if you're on any near any major highway, you're going to get microwave links coming down. But this particular place was extremely void of any kind of energy like that. And so I've been sending certain people up there for a few days to see if, in fact, they'll get relief just by being there. And if the case is that they do, then we pretty much know that they're getting blasted at the location where they're living.
Is this happening worldwide or just in this country?
No, it's worldwide. We get calls from all over the world. Every country you can think of, every continent, even obscure places. But, you know, as long as the cell systems are operating and there's microwave links taking place, then you're going to have these kind of interferences with your mental capacities. You might recall in that last show, the one that I did with you, we discussed that technical paper that had been released that basically showed the old levels of microwave transmission power that used to deal just with heating up the body surfaces were no longer really viable, in the sense that now they're finding that much lower levels of microwave power will interfere with your brain capacities. So that's one of the things that's happening is we're
well. What can we do about all this then?
Electrosmog. It's almost like the air pollution. What can you do? You have to actually find yourself moving to another location, or you can do like several of the people that can't leave and try to shield yourself up with some of these materials that we've got.
I mean, do you see the day one day where roofing materials may include shielding like this and it'll be all over the place?
It's possible, but we're using some of that material right now to make curtains facing in the direction of the new cell tower. We've got pretty thick walls in this location where we are here, but we're now going to cover the windows with this microwave reflecting.
All right, what good is that, though, because, the window's next to the wall,
Well, these particular walls, we have some 18-inch thick walls in this particular structure, so the windows are the weak point, the leakage points. But, one way to tell, we'll get everything hung. We'll turn on the cell phone.
Get your meters out there.
Well, we can do it that way as well, but the simple test is to turn on your cell phone and see if it links, and if it doesn't link, then you're in a pretty good shielded position. And if, in fact, it does work and the quality of the call is adequate, then you're not really making any headway.
If you wrapped your cell phone in aluminum foil, could you call it? Would it work?
Oh, the last time I tried it, it did not work. I used some pretty heavy-duty foil that we got. I couldn't tell you the actual mill.
Or you wrap it up a couple times.
No, we just wrapped it up once, and actually it managed to stop it. So silver foil, these people that have been talking about making beanie hats and sleeping enclosures with silver foil, there's some merit to it.
Exactly. You can't laugh at them.
Yeah, and you can try it for yourself. Anybody can try it. I've tried it with all kinds of different cell phones on this metallized cloth that we use for this stuff, and it does knock it down. And we're very pleased with the results that we've had. We've had people actually build it into the linings of their hats and wear their hats all day long to protect their heads, people that actually live close to these microwave systems. It's all cumulative. If you're actually in this microwave transmission path and your home is there and you're there all day long, this whole thing tends to become cumulative.
When you were talking about George Bush hearing voices, was he aware that there was nobody in the room talking, or did he think it was actually one of his cabinet members, someone saying something to him? And I also think during the debates, didn't he say something about, "I'm not finished talking yet," and no one was talking? Nobody interrupted him?
I had heard that story as well. I just hope that we really don't have a Manchurian candidate.
Well, now that's a bizarre thought.
Well, you saw the movie, and you saw their intent. Their intent was to implant this individual that they were going to place in the presidency. And this movie was written a long time. The original was Frank Sinatra, remember? It wasn't particularly an implant in that original storyline, but the whole idea of the mind control was.
Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah. By the way, I wanted to mention one other thing I read in the newspaper today. Do you remember Carnivore? That was this FBI spying software,
which they're dumping now.
They were unable to get it working correctly. They spent $15 million on it.
It's junk. It's dated. It doesn't work.
It didn't work.
Yeah,
it was actually a computer system that they would go into an ISP.
It was going to allow them all to talk with each other, right?
Well, no.
Share information.
What it was for was that if they wanted to spy on George Norrie's email, they would go to your server, whoever your server is, and they would go in with a warrant, and they would bring in with them this whole central processing unit, a tower and all the associated gear, and they would force the ISP to run their email channels through your piece of equipment.
Well, let me tell you, Roger, if they want to get to the 2,000 emails I get a day and look at them first and help me out, they're more than welcome.
But anyway, the uproar was that the fact that the FBI would bring in this machine, it was in a cage. They would actually set this machine inside the networking area of these ISPs, and they would be in a metal cage, and it would force them to feed their data flow through these things. And these things would be looking at everybody's email, supposedly only taking out George Norrie's email and nobody else's, but still it was reading and had the ability. Unlike the old days where if they had a warrant for a lawful wiretap and they went to the phone company would put them on George Norrie's phone. Nobody else's phone was involved. But you see, when you're dealing with a flow, packet flow, of data that's in a typical network, ISP network, everybody's packets are flowing together.
Did you ever get the Men in Black to visit you?
Yes, As a matter of fact, we've had a few visits. I want to tell you about a really interesting visit that happened recently with one of my clients. About a month ago, I had one of my clients, and he's a political activist. He gets himself involved with being politically active, but once again, he's within his rights, First Amendment rights, to exchange information and all that. He's not plotting against the government, and he's not doing anything like that, but he's a political activist. Anyway, this individual, and also he's a very skilled computer software designer. He himself was over in a library in Southern California, and he was plugged into the network in the library, and he likes to go to the library sometimes, and he exchanges information and does this stuff there. About a month or so ago, he's in the library, and three people show up, two of them in suits, and one police officer of the local police department. And he said he was watching them because they went up to the library and talked for a minute. And then they went over to this table where he was. And the police officer pulled out his gun. The other guys grabbed him and took him outside, unhooked his computer, and went out to a white van. One individual showed him identification saying that he was part of the Homeland Security. And said that they had had some information that he was receiving emails that had to do with terrorism. Now, this guy's an average kind of guy, and somebody pulls a gun on him and drags you out of a library, and they open this van up, and the van is a technical van. It's got all this computer interface gear there. So while they're talking to him, this one guy takes his laptop, and he plugs it into a box. And what happened was that they downloaded his whole hard drive.
They took the whole thing, yeah.
Right smack, right then and there, the whole hard drive. And they told him what they were doing was they were scanning for a particular piece of email that was supposed to be something that had to do with a terrorist.
Now, did he get terrorist-related emails, even though you say he was not one?
Well, he's told me that that he had email that was forwarded on networks of different networks he's in, and he gets enclosures of people sending things back and forth. So he said, yeah, it's possible that he did get something like that, but, you know, it wasn't the kind of thing where he was an ongoing plotter of any kind of, you know, this just happens to be when you're on the internet, and you probably know this from your own surfing, that if you're a politically active individual, you go to a lot of websites a lot of times just to check them out to see what they're talking about.
Well, and what's amazing is they found him.
Well, the thing is they actually had a photograph of him that they had taken off a website for a software manufacturer that he actually worked for. So they obviously had been looking into the guy. But here's the thing that you really need to think about. If, in fact, his computer is considered his personal papers, then why wasn't there a warrant involved?
Right, good point. Stay with us, Roger. Back in a moment, we'll talk more. I want to get into that Howard Hughes movie projector that you developed as well, and phone calls. If you have a question for Roger Tulsis, we'll be back in a moment.